Thessalonians chapter 4, from verse 13 through to verse 18. And we explored a very common doctrine that exists in the denominational world that's held by the dispensationalists, that posits that there is a rapture. And the idea given is that Christ will return, but his return will be one that is secretive. And so he will come almost invisible. It's almost like he'll be coming invisible, and he will be snatching away his children. And then for another, and they call that the rapture. And then some 7 years later, Jesus will come again. And at that time, it will be his appearing or his revelation. And then 1,000 years after that, so after the rapture, 1,007 years, then something major will happen again. Okay, we're having some mic problem. Okay. Now, in that lesson, there are some things that we came to understand. One, that the concept of rapture, or the word rapture, is nowhere found in Scripture. When we explore 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 13 to 18, and we look at the context, then it does not support the teaching of a rapture. And even when we went wider than the immediate context of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, then we see a disconnect between what is supposed to happen on Christ's return and what we see or hear the dispensationalist teaching. So we sort of ended the lesson highlighting the fact that this quiet secret coming runs in vast contrast to what we hear in places like 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, where on Christ's return, then we talk about a blazing fire. Instead of something quiet, we hear in places like 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that there will be sound of the trumpet. There will be a shout. The voice of the archangel, we talk about the trump of God. And there will be nothing so secret, because it talks about every eye shall see him. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. So we begin to realize that this concept of the rapture may be the figment of someone's imagination. But I still want to go a little further, and I'll just remind us by putting, so we are here now. They are saying at some point there's going to be the rapture. Then 7 years later, there's going to be the appearance, the appearing, or the revelation. And they're going to have 1,000 years. All right, and some things will happen after that. All right, we're not going to focus on that. So they call this the millennium. All right. So when it becomes abundantly clear that at the coming of Christ, it is not this quiet thing, you know, where a person is driving, you know, and then the vehicle becomes unmanned because the driver is taken away, and so crash takes place, or you're in the bed with your spouse and you think that they've gone to the bathroom or something, and you're not seeing them coming, so you wonder, all right? And, in fact, there's a third lesson that will follow on this based on a question that I had received after that lesson. What of Matthew chapter 25? Two in a field, and one is taken, and another one is left. All right? So that will be a follow on. So I'm still not even going to get to that part of the lesson. Well, that wasn't a part of the core lesson, but because of that question, there's another lesson that will follow from that. So, what the persons who believe in this rapture will try to explain to us, and they jump on the fact that there are different words that is used to represent Christ's coming. And so they make a big issue of this. And what we'll come up on is that when reference is made to Christ's return, there are really three words that are used. All right, let me carry my paper, because when I'm writing English, I sometimes run into a problem, much less I'll be writing something that is not English. So the first word is parousia. Then we have, and this is my pronunciation, that's 1, 2, 3, and we have apokalupsis. All right, you see what these people have to make me go and do. All right, but the study of God's word is not afraid of opposition. So when we look at the meaning of these words, parousia, it speaks to the coming, the presence, the advent. And we see this word appearing in passages, and brother, you'll help me here. Passages like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15, as well as 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. These are just two examples. All right, let's have that read.
1 Thessalonians
chapter 4, verse 15.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
All right, unto the coming of the Lord. All right, so the word used here, this is the word being used, the coming of the Lord. It's the coming. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the word used here is parousia.
And by our gathering together unto him.
All right, you can stop there. So we see that in reference to Christ's coming, this word is sometimes used. Epiphania. The meaning of this is appearing. manifestation, brightness. All right, we see this, the word used here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 14. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8.
And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
The brightness of his coming. So the word being used here is epiphania. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14.
That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so we see parousia, and we see epiphania. And then in passages like 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, we see apocalypsis. All right? Speaking in tongues. All right? But I am also the interpreter. So apocalypsis means revelation. All right, read one of them. Which one you have?
1 Peter 3, verse 13.
Okay, go ahead.
Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind.
Yes.
Be sober.
Yes.
And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
At the revelation of Jesus Christ. So all of these are in reference to Christ's coming. All right, but different words are used, are talking about appearance, his coming, his presence, him being revealed. So these are different words used to refer to Christ's coming. Now, the dispensationalists say to us, well, when you see the word parousia, referring to the coming and the advent, that is really the rapture. So they are saying this now. All right, let me just put the one here. All right, so that's referring to here. All right, when you see the word epiphania, that is referring to his appearing, that is 7 years afterwards. All right, and as well apocalypsis, all right, so and three, all right, refers to that 7 years later. So if we, and for some of us were not here, so they made a big thing, all right, I'll just recap that part of the lesson. For they make a big thing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 to say that when Jesus returns, he will come for the church and say that is the rapture. But when he comes 7 years later, verse 17 is that he's coming with the church 7 years later. So that is the epiphania. All right, so I'm presenting their argument. So we understand what we are up against. Now, on the surface, this may seem plausible. Remember, we already looked and saw the fallacy in the argument. But we are now looking at the words. This is how they are going to be objecting to what we have said. Now, question. Is this distinction tenable? Do we see this consistent with Scripture? We want to just look closely at a passage or two and see if this is consistent with what they are saying. So let us again let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13.
To the end, he may establish your hearts. Sorry, let me start again. Mm-hmm. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints.
Okay, read again for me.
To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints.
At the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. So, if we are to look at this passage based on what they would have established, then he's coming with all his saints. That sounds like here, right? Based on what they would have said. Because they are saying that when he comes for his saints, that's the rapture. But 7 years later, he's going to come back with his saints, and that is the appearing or the revelation. It is interesting that the word used, because if there's a Bible study, which word would we expect to be used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13? Based on what they would have said to us, because he's using the term with, probably I should. So here it's for, and here is with. So Jesus is coming for his saints only, and then here he's coming back with his saints. So one would believe that the word used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, would be epiphania. But the word that is used is parousos. Well, I should have really practiced these words better. So the word that is used is a parousia. But the concept here is that when he's coming with his saints, is not parousia, because when the parousia is happening, it is at the rapture. So we're not seeing that consistency. So they will say, well, parousia means he's coming for his saints. But when we look and see the word that is used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, it is the concept of with his saints, even though the word used is parousia. So we are not seeing that consistency in their argument. Because yes, it is true that parousia is used in places like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15, all right, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 1. What we are going to see, I don't want to go ahead of myself, but what we are going to see over and over is that this distinction is not there. There are different words used, but it's not speaking of different events. In fact, we see this coming out even more strikingly when we look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. Let's go to that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. And I've tried to stay in Thessalonians since that is the passage or the book that they love to go to make this big distinction.
And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth.
All right. So, for time's sake, they use 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8 to speak of this concept of the Antichrist. The Antichrist. You know, they wrap all of that together. All right. And so they are saying that in 2 Thessalonians, it says that he's going to deal with the wicked. It is really at the appearing. It's at the appearing, at the revelation, that the whole Antichrist will be dealt with. Not at the rapture, but at the appearing, at the revelation. Now, let us read the passage one more time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. I'll read it together. Mm-hmm. Read for me, brother.
And then shall that wicked be revealed, mm-hmm. whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, mm-hmm. and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
It's interesting now that when we look at this verse, what we see is the expression is that he will be coming with the manifestation. That's the brightness. And the brightness was what again?
Epiphania.
With the brightness of his coming. And what we see is that it uses the two words in the same verse. So he is coming in the manifestation, the brightness, the epiphania of his parousia. Two words are being used interchangeably, because guess what? On Christ's coming, he is coming in his brightness. He's going to be manifesting.
That's right.
And he is coming. So there are not two separate events that are happening. But when if we should listen to the argument, we would get that there are two distinct events and separated by 7 years. But no such distinction is being made. Read the passage again for me, brother.
And then shall that wicked be revealed.
And then shall that wicked be revealed.
Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth.
The spirit of his mouth.
And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
And shall destroy with the brightness. With the
brightness.
7 years later. With the
brightness.
The brightness, that's the epiphania. Of his coming. Parousia. It's one and the same thing. When he comes, he's coming for his saints. He's coming to take vengeance. All of this is happening one time. It's not two separate events. So it does not hold true. So while different words are being used, it's just conveying a different thought, a different concept, but it is referring to the one and same event. So let us not be fooled. So, we would have seen then that the concept of the rapture is one, not, the word rapture does not appear anywhere in the Bible. Rapture, nowhere. So somebody comes up with a thought, all right, and they try now to justify it, coming up with all of these things. So it's nowhere found in Scripture. The context of Thessalonians that they go to, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, is really speaking of reassuring and informing the Christian that they are not going to be anywhere better off than the persons who died ahead of them. So they shouldn't worry that, whoa, if I die before Christ comes back, then I'm going to lose my chance of salvation. All right, that was last lesson. The other thing that we saw, so that's two. Three, recognize that they're what they put across as what will happen when Christ returns in terms of this quiet thing is not supported in Scripture. All right, we hear about the blazing, the shout, the trumpets. So what can we take away from this? All right, and you know, the name of the, I titled the first lesson, The Rapture Ruptured. The Rapture Ruptured. All right, so this will be the Rapture Ruptured too. All right. But what are some of the observations? False teaching has some amount of truth to it. Yeah, false teaching sometimes is mixed with some truth. All right. So when we hear people come with things and they talk some things that seem to make sense, it becomes convincing because they have mixed some truth in it. Because guess what? There are different words that represents the coming. But that there are different words do not mean that there are different events. In fact, if they are not even consistent, because they say that the appearing and the revelation take place at the same time. But they want to make a distinction now between when these occur and when this occur. Alright? When the parousia occurs as opposed to when the epiphania and the apocalypsis takes place. Christ will return and it will be sudden. Alright? And when he comes, you know, they agree that he will come for both the living and the dead. So when they say this, Christ will come suddenly. That's not false. That's true. But it doesn't mean that he's going to be coming secretly and quietly. All right? He'll be coming with shouting. All right? Blazing fire. Another lesson. So not only is that false teaching can have some amount of truth in it, and so we need to be careful that we don't just take everything. Two, we should learn that we should not get creative with God's word. We should not get creative with God's word. God's word says what it is saying, but different words do not mean that it's a different event. So, when Christ comes, he will appear. When Christ comes and he appears, he will be revealed. It's the same coming of Jesus Christ. When Christ parousia, he will epiphania and he will apocalypsis. Speaking in tongues, all right. I have an interpreter. When he comes, he will. Well, when he comes again, he's coming. All right. He'll be having a presence. He will be appearing. He will be revealed. Let us not get creative and put things and say things that. It's important not to take a passage out of context. When we look at this scenario, the immediate context does not even support this difference in the for and the with. The very same. Context highlights and shows us that this quiet and secret appearing does not fit our understanding of what is happening. As I told you, I don't want us to First Peter, chapter 1 and verse 2. Because I think that the devil. I hope this doesn't mean you have been hearing all of what I've been saying. So he went now out of his way to now confuse us. Lessons we're taking from this doctrine, you know. To confuse us that there are different types of coming of Jesus Christ. To, among other things, make some of us feel comfortable. But in a sense, you know, when you see these things on television, it looks frightening and things like that. But at the underbelly of it all, you know, what Christ says, after death, the judgment. And when he comes, then there's no more time to repent. You need to repent now. Yes? You know, among the things that this doctrine does, as much as they make it frightening, you know what it is saying? When Christ returns for his saints, if you are not his saint at that point in time, you have 7 years of hope. You can, it might be hard. Because I'm getting to some other things. Though. You have to take the mark of the beast and 666, you know, and things like that. They're getting to some really creative stuff again. All right? But what they're really saying is that, yeah, man, you have a little window that something can go on for you. All right? While what Scripture is saying to us is that when he comes, that's the end of it. All right? Now is the time for repentance. Now is the time for repentance. Anyway, let's go to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, it was verse 13, but go up to about verse 6. Let's get a little context. Okay, you can stop there, all right? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto grace and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ appears, it can be beautiful. Can be a beautiful thing. Okay, since you don't have the mic, let me. Verse 13, I like. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace which is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When God reveals himself, we should be in a state of readiness. We should be preparing ourselves. We should be, you know, the term used, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And so I just want to leave this thought. Are we sober? Are we ready for Christ's return? Christians, are we playing or are we ready? Christ is going to return. What is true, we do not know when. That's the secret part. The secret thing is not any quiet thing. See, the thing is, nobody knows when he's coming. But we need to prepare ourselves. And so tonight we have that opportunity. As Christians, if we recognize that we have not been the type of persons who we should be, then now is as good a time to sober up. Get our minds in the right place. If we have been unfaithful, then we can repent. We can make a recommitment, even tonight, to say, as of tonight I'm going to put myself in a state where I am ready for when Christ comes again, when he appears, when he reveals himself, then I will be ready. If we are not Christians, then your preparation is also important. And Christ, in his scripture, has indicated to us that we need to hear the good news. You know, what all of we have been talking about is a part of that good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ came. He has gone. But when he came, he died for you. But having been gone back to heaven, he's going to return. He's going to appear. He's going to reveal himself. He's going to make an appearance. He's going to come back to us. If you believe that Jesus Christ loves you, then you can repent of your sins, because he did all of that to save us from sin. If you are prepared to confess his name, that you believe that he is the Son of God, then all that would be remaining for you to do is to conform to his death. How do you do that? Well, among the things that Christ did is that he died, he was buried, totally covered, and that he was resurrected. In baptism, you can conform to that very same thing. You die to sin, buried completely underwater, not like a sprinkling thing. And when you come up out of that water, you are raised to a new life. But you can do that tonight, so that you can be prepared for that sudden appearing. We don't know when that will be, but we know that he will be coming. That's what I have to leave with you tonight. We hope that this will be of some encouragement to us, and that we would have had some further insight, because one of the things we said from the first lesson is that we'd be very surprised to know how many denominations hold on to this concept of the rapture. Many, many, many. We invite the song leader to come at this time. When the song is raised, we are, in a sense, entreating you. You can stand. Entreating you to respond to the call, the invitation.